going to start here in verse number 5, talking about this morning about pleasing God. And it's interesting, how many of us like to please God? All of you do. Believers do, okay? And even unbelievers think they are pleasing God. But we're going to see here, there's some things about what we're dealing with in our study in Romans 5, Romans 6, 7, and 8. If you look at verse, before we do that, I meant to do this yesterday because we talk about, we've been talking about death. And actually, the question came up about it. In Scripture, there are five deaths. Can you hear me okay? There are five deaths in Scripture. There is a physical death, isn't there? Where you physically die. They come in and they look at you and they say, why bother? They're gone. Okay? So there's a physical death where you're going to physically die. The separation from the soul from the body. Then there is spiritual death. Okay? Now, spiritual death is you're unsaved. You're separated from God. You're spiritually dead. The Spirit of God doesn't commune with your spirit, doesn't talk to you, so forth. Then there is the second death. Okay? The second death, Revelation, he said, over there in Revelation 20 and 21, talking about the second death, that's being eternally separated from God forever, eternity. Then you have positional death. And then you have functional death. So you have those in Scripture, you have those five deaths. Positional death, that's the death that happened at Calvary in your identity. When Jesus Christ died for you, what happened? You had a positional death when you trusted Him. You didn't physically die. You spiritually became alive, Ephesians 2:1 tells us. So you have a positional death. You have an identity in His death. That's Romans 6. Okay? Being baptized into His death. Then you have a functional death. Now the functional death, that's what we're dealing with in Romans 7 and in Romans 8. Okay, come back with, you're in Romans 8, right? That's the functional death is the issue of not operating properly. And that's the death that we're going to be talking about, and we have been talking about in 7 and in 8 of Romans. So when we talk about death and you read Paul talking about death and you're freed from sin and you're made alive to God and you're dead in Christ, you know, what are we're dealing with these bottom two pieces here. Okay? Now, I meant to do that yesterday when we started in 6 because we started talking about death. And it's important to get that into your thinking and to have that there. Romans 8 now, in verse number 5, Paul's going to do something. He's going to come out of what John was talking about earlier. He's going to come out of verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? So there's no condemnation to them who do what? We're on the Spirit side. I erased it because I'm going to write something up there. Or there's in the law, right? How does that get accomplished? The walking. No condemnation walking in the Spirit. The end of 4. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How does that get accomplished? Okay? So Paul's going to start in verse number 5 and bring in the issue here of this is how all this gets accomplished. Okay? And he's going to come in and he's verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. How does that get accomplished? Now we understand our identity in 6. We've been through that. We understand that who we decide to serve, that's who's going to be the boss. If I'm going to serve the flesh is going to run me And guess what's going to happen? There's going to be death, and there's going to be destruction, and there's going to be condemnation, right? That's what we're learning. But if I choose to serve the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, choose and have this new identity be the boss, who I am in Christ, then I'm going to have a fruitful, joyful, productive, profitable Christian life. Right? That's it. Amen. Let's go to lunch early. Okay? All right. Wait a minute. Okay? But see, and that's what I was trying to get across yesterday in 6. You have a choice, folks. You have a choice on which side of the walkway you're going to walk on. And when you choose, how do you make the choice? Okay? That's what Paul's going to get into now in 5 to 13. Because watch what he does in verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things after the flesh. And they who, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of who?
Spirit.
The Spirit. What's the next verse? For to be, well, wait a minute now. Carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, do you see how in 6 he switched up the flesh and the carnal? You see that? So what is it about? Notice we're talking about our what now? How in the world do we accomplish there's no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit? How do we get there?
Renewing your mind.
Oh, hey, you guys are good. Let's go early, right? You got it. No, I don't. Why? No, why? You got it. Well, I do want to preach, but... Get out of that hole in a quick here, okay? You're a good student. That's okay, I'm used to it. What happens? You begin to... Paul brings in this issue of your thinking again, once again. You're going to mind the things of the flesh, or you're going to mind the things of the Spirit. This thinking process is so critical. When you are unsaved, And somebody presented the gospel to you, gave you the gospel, whether it was one-on-one or in a tract or whatever. What did you have to do in that thing? You had to do what? You had to think. Before you can make a choice, you have to think about it. You had to sit there and you had to weigh the options, didn't you? Hell? Life in Christ. Eternal life. Let's go for life. Okay? And I know what happens is people go, well, you got them, you know, well, look, folks, when you understand you're a sinner, what does a sinner get? Hell. That's what they get. If you're trusting Christ, then what do you get? Eternal life. But what do you have to do with that? You have to think that through, don't you? If you have an emotion involved in it, then what do you quit doing? Thinking. You get a feel. Oh, this makes me feel good. It felt really good at 6:30 this morning to just roll over and continue sleeping. Okay? See, Paul comes right back into our thinking here. And he does this because when you and I walk in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. But we have to want to, we have to have our thinking adjusted to that thinking. And that's what we're doing really in 6, 7, and 8 is adjusting your thinking. That's why in 6, every time, no, no, no. 7, 1, no. I mean, you got to know this stuff. So what do? You have to think it through, don't you? You sit down, you take the book, and what do? You study it. What does study require?
Thinking.
You know, you can read the book all day long and not think about it, and guess what you just did? You just read a book. You know, Dad was sitting there last night reading his book. He said, this is a very slow read. What would that indicate? That's what I figured, boring. Or what? You have to think about this. I would go with the boring, but you have to think about it, okay? So when Paul instantly begins to come up with this mind, and there is a struggle in your thinking. Look at verse number five again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the what? Do you remember that thing last night about things? Yesterday that John was talking about? Things? Things of the Spirit? What would be some things of the flesh? Well, he tells you, first of all, it's what? It's carnal, isn't it? You see, verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I'm thinking about this side on the board over here, what is the result? Death, right? What's the result of being over here? Life and peace, isn't it? Duh, which one do I want? Those who walk in the flesh, you know what they do? They focus on the things of the flesh, don't they? Come over with me real quick to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5, there is a list of the works of the flesh that are manifest. Hey, by the way, do you know what the smallest sin is in the Bible? The smallest sin in the Bible, do you know what it is? Flee fornication. Thank you. Henry got it. We got... Okay. Okay. There. Flee, small. Yeah. It's pretty bad when you have to explain it to the front row, you know. Look at Galatians 5. Just jump right in here in verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. You see all that list? There's 17 things there. When you're walking in the flesh, you know what you're doing? You're thinking this way. You're thinking in these 19, 20, 21. You see those things? Why, that's some pretty rough stuff in there, isn't there? Come over with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. See, when you start thinking about the flesh, you can go Galatians 5:19 and following. That's pretty rough stuff. But if you're going to mine it, remember, functional death is what we're dealing with here. Not operating in proper and functioning in as who we are in Christ, you slip off into some of that. We know people who do, don't we? But look at Colossians 3. Watch verse number 8. In verse 5, he just listed all that stuff in Galatians 5 for you again, but then in 8 he says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his what? What would be the things of the old man in that passage? There's some attitude sins, aren't there? Galatians 5, the physical sins. Now we got some attitude sins, don't we? Some thinking sins. What causes anger and wrath? Improper thinking. What causes all... What, you know, have you ever caught yourself when you were really going to say something bad?
Every day.
No, good. Atta boy, Tom. Tom's learning, okay? We know better, Tom. We'll talk to Jamie later, okay? What happens? You catch yourself, don't you? You go, oh, I don't want to say that. You try to. What are you doing? You have to think, don't you? You got to pay attention. For to be carnally minded is death. Man, to operate into action that way, you got some death going on. You've got some works of the flesh, don't you? That you got to deal with and take care of and protect against. But you know what, though? If you're minding here in the Spirit, where are you not minding? Over here, aren't you? You remember yesterday I told you that passage in Philippians 1, you clear the table of your mind. And the only thing on the table of your mind is good, better, and best. How do you do that? You're thinking. Now, is sin going to pop up? Sure, it is. Because you still got that old flesh, but you just, boom, ding, you get that fly like they were doing last night. You just, get out of there. You put that helmet of salvation on. You protect your mind, you protect your thinking, you just say, you know what, you just stay right over there, I'm right here. This is where I'm at. Now come back there to Romans 8. By the way, on your way back to Romans 8, get Ephesians 4. I'll jump ahead a little bit here, what we want to talk about. On your way back to Romans 8, get Ephesians 4. Notice something here. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. We're talking, the subject here is down in verse number 8 of 8 of Romans 8 about pleasing God. But look real quick at Romans 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption. What did I say? Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. Okay? Sorry. Ephesians 4:30. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? By doing verse number 31. Where he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what happens? If you want to grieve the Holy Spirit, you do the opposite of that verse, don't you? You have anger and clamor, and you're not forgiving. You're not tender hearted. You're evil speaking. I mean, you're not putting this stuff away. You're living where? Over here. If I want to please God, then where do I need to do? I need to let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from me. I need to live over here, don't I? I need to live in the life and the peace that I have in my identity and who I am in Christ. And when I do that and I think that way, guess what? I please God. Now go back to Romans 8 and let's go down through the section here. Because when you're walking in the flesh, you're going to mind the things of the flesh. What's the big thing? What's the big word in the flesh? What's the big word? I. Yeah, we see that. I. Pride. Sin. What's the center? Who's the center of the flesh? I. Me. Galatians 5 and or 8 and verse number 5, for they which are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are some of the things of the Spirit? Come over to life and peace, right? Come over to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Are you done now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir. I got out of
here. Okay. Colossians 3, notice some things about the Spirit. Where would some of the things that we've learned about the Spirit, where would it cause us to walk and to be and to function? Well, we've already seen life and peace in the passage. How about being in who? In Christ, right? Having a mindset of who we are and our identity in Christ. Now watch 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things where? So where should we be? Where should we be paying attention to? What's above? Our heavenly places. Sitteth things on the earth, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How does Christ become your life? When you're focusing and thinking on the things of the Spirit. You see, folks, how there's no condemnation to you as a believer is when you decide which side of the aisle you're going to walk on. If you decide to walk in the flesh and follow you and your ability, which Romans 7 just said what? It's defeat. You're going to fail. You're not going to please God. But when you operate and function in the identity of and the spirit of who you are in Christ, guess what you're going to have? You're going to please God, aren't you? Come back to Romans 8. See, Paul here, when our focus, our walk, is where the Spirit is focusing us and where in our identity, I got to get back to 8 here. And who we are in Christ, then things begin to click along a little easier. Now, the Christian life isn't easy. It's hard. You can't live the Christian life on your own. You know that. You have to have who help? Christ help. You got to be in the right mindset. Back in Romans 8 here, Paul's exhorting you, if you will, in verse number 5, to focus your thinking on what God's doing in your life, and how it's going to impact you here in time. We looked yesterday at that verse in 1 Timothy about godliness is profitable now, has a promise of profitability now and in that which is to come. But when you talk about walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, verse number 5 is a great definition of what that is. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, then I'm going to mind the things of the Spirit, aren't I? So if you want to know what it is to walk in the Spirit, in Ephesians he says that you would be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Well, what is that? Minding the things of the Spirit. What's he doing? What's God doing today? And get that down, get that in me. Let's renew it and let's get going. To walk in the flesh is going to be the mind of things of the flesh. Now, let me just run a jackrabbit trail with you real quick here, a small one. Paul tells Timothy that God has given us all things to what? Richly enjoy. So you know what? When you talk about going and doing stuff, a couple of weeks ago, the church, we went tubing down the Salt River. Okay? There was like 22 of us that went. Had a great time. Now, some of you may say, well, that was a pretty fleshly thing to do. It was. We had a great time. It was hot out. We got in the water. We cooled off. But what was our mindset going and enjoying the river? It wasn't to get drunk, to get half naked, which is what the flesh does. Just look at them. What was our mindset in going and doing that? Fellowship, have a good time, one with another. We saw snakes in the river. We saw wild horses come out. We saw eagles. We saw a guy catch a 10-pound bass out of it. We saw all this. We're just enjoying one another. We stopped. Boy, we got in the water, and the boys, there was like 10 of them or 11, they were gone. The old folks with the coolers, we're up here still struggling to get in, and they're down and around the bend gone. They were having a good time. But what were they doing? They were hanging out. They were together. See the mindset? But what did we enjoy? We enjoyed the river together, didn't we? See, we're not talking about you have to live a monk's lifestyle, can't have air conditioning. We're not talking about depriving us of the creature comforts. But what is your thinking process about enjoying them? There's nothing better than a baseball game when somebody else gives you the ticket. Okay? But what, you go and enjoy it, don't you? The guys play hockey, and you see the pictures. Facebook, you're writing everybody's life most of the time. You see the pictures and everything. What are they doing? They're enjoying life, but what's their mindset about it? That's the whole thing here between walking in one arena and walking over there. Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is... By the way, do you catch that? That's the whole of everything. Because sometimes when we talk about, well, lifestyle and this and that, we're talking about don't enjoy life. There's nothing better than getting up in an early morning and jumping on the back of the bike and going for a ride. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than pulling the quads out and going right through the desert, and when the desert's in bloom and it's just rained and it's muddy and you get dirty and you just have a good time. You come back and people say, oh, but Rick, you shouldn't be doing that. Don't you know you're the pastor? Baloney. I'm enjoying it. Let's go. Enjoy life. But do it with what? The right mindset. Okay? Verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, that functional death. Not physical death, you're still breathing, some of you. Not spiritual death, because you're in Christ. Not the second death, because you're in Christ, He paid that death at Calvary, right? Not positional death, because you're in Christ. You're functioning as who you are. So when he talks about, hey, if you're going to live over here, what are you talking about? You're talking about this stuff here. How are you functioning today? Where are you functioning? Now the question that comes up out of verse number 6 is, wait a minute, isn't the believer delivered from death? The answer is what? Yes. Which death? Well, I just went through them with you, didn't I? We're talking about down here, aren't we? How does that believer get through the functional death? Figure out his mindset. Which way am I going here? The love of money is the root of all evil. What's the root of all evil? Money?
No. Love.
How do you view money? Woo, I like it. I gotta have it. I want some more of it. Right? You know the songs. But what does money do? Money just creates the ability to obtain things, to pay bills, to provide. It's where your value is. Where you spend your money, it demonstrates where you spend your money creates where's your mindset. Right? The offering basket back there. Where's your mindset at? About your money. Ooh, now we're meddling. So let's move on. Verse 7, right? But that's the whole deal, guys. That's the whole deal, folks. How do you think about that? You know, you work a job, you come home, and, you know, it's like, man, we're just behind the eight ball all the time, it seems like. But you've chosen to live here, so guess what that eight ball looks like? Really big. If you're not thinking properly, right? Okay, we're getting there. The issue here, back in 8:6, the issue here has to do with your walk as a believer. Paul is talking about verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. He's talking about your walk. How you walk? How do you think about it? Where are you going? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is what? Okay, so now we got enmity. Is that a good word? Not at all. It's an enmity against who? Against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed... Now watch those last two words. Can be. It's interesting he says the law of God. Now, he's already brought that up in our study in chapter 7, hasn't he? And we said earlier, what was the law of God? The moral law, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic law, right? But it's interesting that we're down a little bit, and what has he already convinced you of in Romans 8? You're not under that system, are you? In 8, 1 to 4, where are we? We're not underneath the law. We're over here under in grace, aren't we? When he talks there about the law, look back up in verse number 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? How's the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? When we walk in the where? In the Spirit. What everything that the law, the righteousness of the law says you're to be, we are because of who we are where? In Christ. But if I'm walking on this side, am I fulfilling that law? No, it's against it. It can't be done. But every time I'm in the flesh, what am I trying to do? Romans 7. Everything I can do to fulfill that law. Follow that? How's my thinking? Good or bad? Bad thinking. Verse 8. So then they that are in the what? Cannot do what? If everyone in this room said, I want to please God, raise your hands, got up, shout, but you know what you are? Your thinking is over here. Are you going to please Him?
No.
Not at all. Your righteousness has what? Filthy rags, Isaiah says. Now, he's talking about justification. I'm going to apply that to sanctification, your walk. Quiet in the room now. Okay? Because what happens in your walk, in your religious walk, what do you try to do? I'm going to perform. And the guy comes along and says, nope, you're not doing it enough. You got to do it right. You got to do it this way. You're failing. You have that enmity. It's against God. You're over there in Ephesians 4, there where we just read a minute ago, and you got the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor, all that's going on in your... What are you doing? Do you think God says, well done, my beloved? You know what? Look at 11, chapter 11 of Romans. When you're walking along like that, Romans 11 and verse number 6, great verse. You ought to know this verse. Romans 11 and verse 6, it says, "And if by grace then is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more what? Otherwise work is no more." Do you see how they don't mix? So here you are, this side of the, we're working. What are we doing? We're not thinking right. And we're working. What does the Holy Spirit, who indwells you as a believer, now we're talking about believers, okay? What does the Holy Spirit do? What does He do when you're over there walking in the flesh? "Oh, I'll just wait for you." One day He's going to hit that back wall and come back. "I'll just sit here." Are we done yet? Is He there yet? No, oh, almost. Grace sits down. Again, functional death. When you're walking in the flesh, do you lose your spiritual blessings?
No.
Do you lose your completeness, your forgiveness?
No.
But are you a blockhead?
Yes.
What does the Holy Spirit do? He indwells you. Paul over there tells the Corinthians, "Guys, I want to tell you about the hidden wisdom. I want to explain this to you, but you are carnal. You're babes. I can't do it. I want to bring you to some perfection." 1 Corinthians 2. "But you guys are walking on this side of the room. You're not to the back wall yet." Finally, they get back there, by the way. And He's able to bring them along. Why? Because grace and works don't mix, do they? And the grace of God, He's literally going to sit down and wait for you. As far as having an impact, come back to 8, in your life. Now, how does He do that? When you get to that end, what do you cry? Help. We'll talk about that tomorrow in the infirmities. I got a tough section coming tomorrow. We're going to have fun with it, I hope, okay? He sits there, you get to the end of it, and what do you say? "Lord, I'm at my end. Lord, I can't go anymore. What's going on here? I don't understand why I'm having death in my life, why things aren't working." And He says, there goes, "Well, you blockhead, if you would just read and remember who you are and come and adjust your thinking to who you are in Christ, what's going to happen?" There is no condemnation to them who walk where? In the Spirit. You see, Paul's explaining to you here how you do the first four verses. How do I not have that condemnation? I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, and I'm walking on the right side of the board. I'm on this side of the room now. Okay? Yeah, I know. Yeah, you got to move over. Okay. Now watch verse number 9. How does it start? But, now we're going to have a contrast. He says, look, if you guys are living in over here, and you're functioning over here improperly, there's death. But ye are not in the what? Now don't you already know that from your identity in Romans 6? But you have to be reminded. Why? Because you're a blockhead. Aren't you? Okay? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the what? Don't you remember your identity? While you're traveling that route and the Holy Ghost is sitting down, grace is sitting down, waiting for you, you know what He says every now and to you? Don't you remember who you are? Because what's residing in you? Think about this. The Spirit resides in you. The Word of God. He works with the Word, doesn't He? And you know, John or Dad, or you'll hear somebody or me, we're teaching away, and all of a sudden we'll say something, and you're over here sitting there, you got your suit and tie on, you know, the family's dressed, everybody's there, you pulled up, you made a big scene at the offering box with your dollar bill, because that's what you're putting in there. Everybody sits there and goes, "Wow, look how good Barry and them look. Wow." Okay? You're welcome. Okay? And then they look over, And then they look over and they say, "Oh, poor Jonathan, he just doesn't have anything going on." So, but what's happening? You keep teaching and all of a sudden a verse is read. And Jonathan says, "Amen, attaboy." And Barry goes, "He don't know what he's talking about." Right? Thank you, Jonathan. Okay. Why? Where's our mindset? Where's our thinking? The Holy Spirit, He didn't leave you. He just sat down for a little bit. Wait till you got to a verse that you needed to be kicked in the head with. And He kicks you in the head with it. And what is your response to it? Ouch is what it should be. But sometimes it's, well, He just doesn't know the Greek. Or He doesn't know what He's talking about. So let's just keep going. And what happens is the Spirit comes along because He works with the Word and He says, it's time to adjust your thinking, blockhead. Let's go. But ye are not of the what? The flesh. Here's the adjustment. Here's the verse that adjusts us. Don't you remember who you are? You're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hey, look, folks, if you're saved, which, by the way, that's what he's talking about. John alluded to it last hour there. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're a saved individual and you went to Calvary and trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and relied exclusively in that alone, nothing else, then the Holy Spirit comes along and He does the cribs to you, doesn't He? Circumcises you, regenerates you, indwells you, baptizes you, but most importantly, He seals you. And when that happens to you, He indwells you, and if you belong to Him, then He has the right to adjust you when you need adjusting. And He says, if this is the case, guys, you need to be adjusted to remember who you are in Christ. I.e., go read Romans 6. I.e., go dwell in 7 a little bit. Figure this stuff out. And we've been through this. When he says there, if be so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Come back with me over real quick here to Ephesians 3 and give you the idea here. Because when it's talking about dwelling, he's talking about more than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because when he's talking about the indwelling, the moment of salvation, he indwells you. How does he indwell you? The Father uses him and seals you with him. By one Spirit are you baptized in the one body. He becomes operational, doesn't he? You move from functional death to what? Life and peace, don't you? Not functional death, I'm sorry, spiritual death. The moment of salvation, okay? Get the deaths right. You move over in to life and peace. He indwells you. He takes up residence. But when he says, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, there's more to that than just him coming and residing in you. Look at Ephesians 3, verse number 16, the prayer here of Paul. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit. Where? In the inner man. How are you strengthened in your inner man? By the Spirit. He goes to work, doesn't he? That Christ may, what? Dwell in your hearts. How? Do you see that dwelling there? You've heard the illustration. What is that? He's at home, isn't he? He comes in, takes your shoe, kicks the shoes off. He's got his own, he doesn't have just his own room. He has the whole house. It's His. What? Know you not that you are what? Bought? You're a possession. He possesses you. He bought you. So when the Spirit of God, when he says there in Romans 8 about the Spirit of God dwell in, he's not talking about just indwelling you. He's talking about being at home in your life. And if you're functioning in the flesh, then guess what he's doing? He's on the outside knocking, trying to get back in. Now, he doesn't leave. Follow me now, okay? He doesn't leave. He's not. He's been locked out in your thinking process, hasn't he? Do you follow that? Does that make any sense? But you're not in the flesh. What are you? In the Spirit. Back to Romans 8. You've got to look at the verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. What's the next word?
Yeah.
If so be that the Spirit of God does what? How in the world do I function in the Spirit? What do I have to have? I have to have more than the indwelling. I have to have the Spirit of God do what? dwell, take up residency, live, control my life. Come in and take on the ability and have the ability to come in and to control and to dominate my thinking. So that when something comes up, I can sit there and say, what? Get out of here, flesh. I'm doing this. Follow that. To dwell is more than just the indwelling. It's to come in and it's to take... He's to be at home in your thinking, in your life, to have control of what's going on in your walk. Now, how does He do that? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of... Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see, folks, when you walk by right division, when you walk by sound doctrine, you renew your mind. Guess what? Guess who's going to run your life? The Spirit of God. Christ is, isn't He? Your identity is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Well, that's pretty tough, isn't it? That'd be a sad way if you just quit reading, didn't it? What's the next verse say? But God hath revealed them, hath revealed what? The things that He prepared for them that loved Him, right? How does He reveal them? Unto us by His what? You see how you need that Spirit to get into that Word? Otherwise the Word, the book is just an ancient writings and it's a wonderful book and it's got wonderful stories in it. Yea, the deep things of... For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, if God's going to reveal to you the things that He's prepared for them that loved Him, and He's going to do it by what? The Spirit. So first of all, who do you need? The Spirit. So get justified, get saved. Pass from death to life. Right? That happens. He comes in, He's sealed with you, He goes to work. But also then, we're already saved. Now we're talking about justification, or sanctification. How does He then go work? Look at verse 13. How does He reveal them? Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How does the Holy Spirit work? He comes in and He uses some scripture. What's spiritual in your life? The Word of God is, right? He comes on, says that, boom. He says, hey, knucklehead, you're over here. You need to be here. Let's adjust your thinking. And here's some verses that are going to adjust your thinking. Remember yesterday I was talking to you about that choice? Come back to Romans 8. You got a choice to make. You see, verse number 9 is the verse to adjust your thinking if you get off base. Look, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God in you. And He's going to come along and He's going to use the Word of God and He's going to adjust your thinking. You catch that? It's quiet, too quiet. Okay, you got it. All right? You're thinking, good. Okay? Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is what? What kind of death? Justification, yes. But we're not talking about justification. Functional death. It's dead because of what? Because of sin. So we go back over, don't we? Back to Romans 6, Romans 7. But the Spirit is what? Life because of what? Righteousness. Folks, if you want to have a life of righteousness, you know where you need to function? In the Spirit. Okay? Now we can pray, right? No, not yet. Okay. Verse 11. We got three more verses here. You see, folks, if you're saved, your body, your identity is in Christ. That's what's ruling and reigning. Now verse 11, 12 and 13, he starts, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's a great conclusion to this situation. Because what he's talking about here is, hey, look, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same one that's going to come along here and cause you to have life and peace right now in time. When he talks there about quickening your mortal bodies, he's not talking about taking you to heaven. That's coming later in Romans 8. We're talking about right now. How in the world, what, if I'm functioning in the flesh and it's dead, then what's going to make this thing here function right? This mortal body? The Spirit does it. That's what he's getting at. The quickening, the giving of life here, the quickening here, is to give you the ability to overcome the desires of that dude right there, the old sin nature. How do I beat him back? How do I keep him under restraints? How am I able to flick him and say, no more, you're done? How can I live? How can I walk in the Spirit and have no condemnation and have no bad result? How can I do that? It takes the Spirit. It takes the Spirit coming along and in your thinking control the stuff. The life is in the Spirit. That's what we just saw back up in verse 2, isn't it? The life of the Spirit is what? Life in Christ Jesus? So in 8:11 here, when he talks about if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, well, does He? Yes. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken, make, bring them up, bring them alive, your mortal bodies, by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. How does this get done? What are some of the mechanics here? The mechanics of identification. Christ, you're baptized by the Spirit into the body. The Spirit comes along and He's going to use words and renew your strength in your inner man. What's He going to do too? Give you the ability to walk in the Spirit and walk in life. He makes you alive. Because Romans 6 says our flesh is, our this body of sin is what? Dead. You look like a dead man. You are a dead man, but you're alive to God, aren't you? Who does that? The Spirit does. The Spirit comes along and gets involved. Therefore, verse 12. What's the there, therefore? Right? How's your thinking? How's your walk going? What's moving this? What's motivating? You know, you can be motivated in the flesh to be at every Bible study there is. You know that? What motivates you to go to Bible study? Barry's going to be there. I get to see Barry. Barry gets to see me. Right? Dave's going to be there. Every what? No? Or oh, well, we can start now. Mark's here. Why do you go to Bible study? Which side are... Where are we at? You see, the Spirit... Therefore, how you doing? Brethren, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. I love that. You know, you're a debtor. Paul over there in Romans 1, he says, I'm a debtor to the whole world. Wait a minute, Rick, we're under law. We're free. But notice what the verse says. Debtors not to what? Not to the flesh. Why? The flesh has been crucified, hasn't it? Galatians, look over at Galatians, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse number 24. You see, when he says there, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. The debtor, who are we a debtor to? To live at the Spirit, aren't we? Galatians 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ, are you Christ? Are you His possession? Have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. How does that happen? Okay, you can't crucify yourself. Remember the illustration? You always got one hand free, don't you? You got to nail that one, nail those. What do I? Well, if I got this one free, what can I do? I can pull the nails out, can't I? And get off, right? How am I crucified? In my identification in chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, that baptism, right? Baptism into Christ's death, burial and resurrection, that co-resurrection, that co-burial, that co-death, it's His is ours. We have this newness in life. How does all that work? We're a debtor, go back there to Romans 8, not to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. Why? Because He's crucified, He's dead. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Verse 13, we're debtors. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall what? Where's our debt? Our debt is to live. What compels us to live? The love of Christ does, doesn't it? Who are we in Christ? Boom, you just start naming them and listing them. You know? It's interesting to see the 100 things that happen to you when you get saved. Now, you start looking at some of them a little closer and it's just a re-saying of something earlier. But you start looking and considering the things that happen to you the moment you pass from death to life. The only way you know about them is because the Word of God tells you. That's it. You don't feel the tingle. You don't feel the yahoo, woohoo, run the aisle. That's the flesh. What controls all that? What causes you to walk in the Spirit? And therefore not to have any condemnation? Having that mind of the Spirit does. Philippians 2, verse number 5, he says, but let this mind be in you which was in Christ. The mind of Christ. Others first. You know, that joy, Jesus, others in you. Others first. This is the mind of the Spirit. And the mind of the Spirit says, here, I'm going to help you because you'll get in the Romans 7 event and you need to get out. And how I'm going to help you in your walk is I'm going to come along and I'm going to fortify your thinking through intake of the sound doctrine, renewed in your mind, built up in your inner man, so then when life does come along, because it sure comes along, you can step back in an objective thinking process, say, you know what? I'm going to go there and not there. I'm going to respond. You remember last night to the stuff? Yesterday? I'm going to respond to the things this way and not that way. And the Spirit will sit there and He'll say, attaboy, it's about time. Way to go. Let me get up. You got it. Now, why? Come over with me one more passage. I think. First Corinthians 11. No, tell you what, 2 Corinthians 11. Why is all this important? Why does Paul spend, I mean, just think about Romans 8. Think about Romans 8. He just told you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Is that enough said? I mean, that's a lot, isn't it? And he goes down through those first four verses and he gets you to the conclusion that, you know what, walking in the Spirit's where to go. Life in Christ Jesus, that's where we want to be. So then why does he take 5 to 13 and go off on this mind thing? Because in 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now he's going to talk about sonship. That'll be this evening, right? It's like he just threw a parenthesis in there, didn't he? Of, hey, this is how this is going to operate, and you need to understand how walking in the Spirit's functioning. That's what he did. That's what he's doing. But look at 2 Corinthians 11 and look at verse 3, because there's something else going on in the underling here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. But I fear. Now, if Paul's afraid of something, then you know what you do? You better pay attention to it. You know, it's interesting. The 19 times John was saying that he uses the word Spirit. You think he wants you to pay attention to the Spirit? Boy, in Galatians 1, he tells you twice to cut them off. You know, if they preach any other gospel, get rid of them. And again, I say, I mean, okay, Paul, we got it. Uncle. But I fear. Pay attention. Lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you see that corruption, the policy of Satan there? What's he trying to do? Corrupt your minds, but from what? Where? Is not Romans 6 pretty simple? Isn't the Calvary Both sides of the cross, really simple. What is Satan's design to do?
Make it complicated.
To keep you in Romans 7.
Mm-hmm. For a believer, yeah.
I mean, we're talking believers. That's a believer in Romans 11, in 1 Corinthians 11. Those are believers. The unsaved guy, he don't care about. Romans 8, this exhortation in 5 to 13, yes, yeah, to tell you how all this is operating and how it's going to function, but it also gets to that bare bones that you know where Satan would love you to be as a Christian? Romans 7 all the time. Do you see that? He would have you to be dead. He would have you to be useless in walking in that flesh, not pleasing God. Verse 8. So he comes along and Paul says, okay guys, you see how this works? And you know how you're going to defeat Satan? You know how you're going to defeat that flesh? The Spirit is going to do the work. Verse 8-9, back in 8-9. He's going to come along and he's going to adjust it out for you. So then that's what you can do. You can be pleasing to God. Do you follow that? The mind... That's where Satan attacks you, folks. Bewitched. Beguile. Enticing words. Tricks. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Why, you think about how that is where? Right up here. When you hear enticing words, what do you have to do? You have to think about them, don't you? They're the 5-gallon word, the $5 words. I'm then the 2 centers, okay? Satan comes along, back in Romans 8, Paul comes along and he says, hey look guys, if you'll mortify the deeds of the body, you know what's going to happen? You're going to live. If you can keep that flesh where it belongs, which is dead, you know what you're going to have? Life and peace. You know who you're going to have it through? In that walk in the Spirit. And you know who can't touch you? The satanic policy of evil. Now he's going to try. And he's got his little mechanisms. But if you'll just keep that simplicity that's in Christ, then you'll have life and peace. And no matter what the circumstances of life are. So then he says, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we're going to go to the leading. Because in your walk, you need some help sometimes, don't you? You know? Lead you along. And that'll be this evening. Just get what's going on here. There's nothing that God has done for you that He doesn't want you to enjoy right now in life. Tubing and everything. You just do it in the right mindset, in the right thinking process. And once that happens, then you can go out. And it can be the worst week of your life, and at the end of the week you can say, I had a great week. Because I got the right thinking process. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. And above all, Lord, we thank you for the Spirit that dwells in us, that is at home in us, that takes your word and imparts the word into our lives and causes it to control our thinking and to control who we are in your Son. And Lord, all that we can really say in all of that is thank you for that, because we didn't do it and you did. And you gave it to us as a free gift. And we can just simply say thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.